Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody is doing well. Got Roger Saffold coming up here in just a few minutes. Titans offensive guard, looking forward to having that conversation with him. We'll have Blake Topmeyer from the USA Today SEC Network at 8 o'clock and Ben Arthur from the Tennessean as well coming up at 8:30. So lots to get to coming up today here on the show and taking your thoughts on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. And with that in mind, we go to our 1025 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and welcome in Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold. Roger, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing great, man. Just rolling into work.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning as you're rolling into work. What's training camp been like so far? What's the first week or so been like on the field with your new teammates this year?
You know, it's been great. We've been dealing with a lot of heat, you know, but we've been really getting some good work in. Guys have been really competing. We've got a bunch of new faces, so it's a breath of fresh air out there.
Just off the top of your head, Roger, who in the first few days of camp is really making an impression? And doesn't that have to be at your position or D-line, but just who comes to mind when I ask that question?
You know, there's been a few people. I think that Jack Rabbit has been doing a great job. Janoris Jenkins, I think Jeffrey Simmons has been doing a great job. We've been seeing some of the young guys on the D-line starting to step up. I think the Jayon's been doing a great job. Along with our inside linebackers, have been doing a great job of just running to the ball and being really aggressive. And, of course, you know, our leader's been doing a good job, Kevin Byard. I've been seeing great work out of Taylor LeJuan, you know, coming back from his injury. So, I mean, we got a bunch of guys that's really been stepping up. And once we get everybody together, it should be something special.
Well, Roger, you bring up Taylor LeJuan. What's it been like having him back out on the field and you guys together when you've been on the field? Just look so comfortable together on that left side, and we're so dominant on that left side, both in the run game and the pass blocking game as well. What's it been like to have him back out there and back on the field?
He's just great energy. You know, he's a great character to have around, and you know, you can't match it. So it's just nice to have him on the field, just bringing that juice day in and day out. Also just being able to kind of work with him through individual, and even a couple group activities that kind of help us, you know, fine tune everything that we need to do as far as being a left guard and left tackle. I see that, you know, our chemistry is continuing to be there, even though he hasn't been on the field for a long while.
So at this stage of your career, Roger, you guys put the pads on. So obviously, you know, more work for you guys and harder work. How important is this time period for a veteran offensive lineman, when you got that balance of, you know, you want to make sure you're fresh for the season and stuff like that, but I imagine, you know, contact and actually playing the game is still important to get ready for the season. Like, how do you approach that?
Oh, 100%. So I absolutely, you know, I have to make sure that I take care of myself so I'm fresh for Sundays. But at the end of the day, this is training camp. You know, I want to be a part of training camp. I need to be able to get that hitting in so I can get my timing down and get, like, leverage and some of the small fine-tuning of the techniques that I need to have. So these are great times for me. And, of course, you know, the longer that we go through camp, Coach Vrabel and John Robinson, Todd, they're all going to help me to stay fresh.
Titans offensive guard Roger Saffold on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And, Roger, fans watch you play, and we could see even videos on YouTube and stuff of you just mauling people in the run game. Just from your vantage point, doing this as long as you've done it and at the high level that you've done it, what goes into being an elite run blocker? What do you think is the most important part of your skill set that you have to be an elite run blocker?
I think for me, you know, as being an offensive lineman, I always looked at, you know, talent is great, but also, you know, just kind of like that work ethic and I learned that, you know, being stronger would help me. I've tried to do that to the best of my ability, and then it just comes down to aggression and mentality of kind of just, you know, the way that I come off the ball, the speed that I get to the second level, and just making sure that I'm delivering a pop that puts these guys on the ground.
Is this offense going to look the same, Roger, as it has the last couple of years, or is there going to be some, you know, some noticeable differences going from Arthur Smith to Todd Downing and you know, adding Julio Jones?
I think that Julio is just another great piece, part of our offense. I think that our offense identity is the same, and we'll just see how it goes, because I know that through the running game has really been one of our staples. But when you got Julio out there, I mean, of course, he's another option to just use, and he's going to be helping us out in the run game and the pass game. So I think our identity is the same, but it's awesome to have another weapon out there.
Roger, A.J. Brown's been capturing a lot of attention so far at Titans training camp, and we know how good A.J. is, but he looks completely healthy this year, which I think is very scary for opposing defenses. You've played with a lot of really good players in your career. What do you kind of forecast the next stage of A.J. Brown's career looking like as he continues to improve in this league?
It's all about, you know, just his confidence and just making sure that he goes out to practice and keeps putting those quality reps together. We know that A.J. is a hard worker, and, you know, when he goes out there, he's going to run. He's going to try to make great routes. He's going to try to catch balls. I just think that the next thing that he just needs to do is just constantly focus on his craft. And, of course, it's going to get him to that elite level. But, you know, it all depends on A.J., what he's going to do. But so far, I like the way that he's been moving. I like the way he's been running. You know, when we really get him into the zone, you can see some great plays of him blocking as well. So, you know, we're just going to get that full package out of him week in and week out. And I feel like, you know, this training camp, you know, he's constantly improving as well.
How competitive is it right now, Roger, with the offense and defense? I mean, I think it was Saturday. Nate's coming out of some scrums with helmets in his hand, and, you know, there's some intensity out there. I know it's hot. Now the pads are on. Is it more competitive and intense just O versus D when you guys get into team than it has been in the past?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely more intense. Our defense is extremely hungry. We're such a physical, you know, offense. There's going to be those days when it gets really hot and when these hits start coming in. But there's going to be a couple scuffles here and there. But everybody's brothers in the locker room at the end of the day. And that's all you can look for out of your team.
Roger, a lot of guys returning on the offensive line, but a few new faces as well. Kendall Lamb coming in, Dylan Radunz drafted in the second round as well. What have you made so far of the new guys coming in on the offensive line?
I'm just slowly seeing guys improve, and I really like that. You know, the way that our offensive line runs is different than what they've seen before. You know, the great thing is that because we have such a good nucleus on the offensive line is that these guys are really buying in and buying in early, and that's kind of what we need so that we can improve every day. So I like what I'm seeing out of Lamb. I like what I'm seeing out of our younger guys. Our rookies are starting to come along. You know, all these new faces are going to help us win. We need them. So I like what I see out of them so far.
A couple young guys on the other side who I thought looked quick and looked in really good shape, and they were both off-season winners, Tier Tart, Laurel Murchison. Are you seeing the improvement in them? Do you think that those guys, you know, can be in the rotation and help, you know, Simmons and Autry maybe get a little bit more rest this year?
Of course. I think that both of those guys are definitely coming along. You know, they've had good years in the off season. You know, getting some strength behind them. You know, being able to do what they're coached to do, but also playing their style of ball. You know, they're working their butts off out there, and I like what I see out of them so far. You know, when we look at the passing game and the run game, you know, getting any type of disruption is helpful for our defense. And they've been able to do that. They've been able to show some signs of that. So I like to see, you know, how we do that when we get into these game scenarios. So very excited for those kids in the next couple weeks.
Roger, I've got to ask you about your quarterback. I mean, obviously, if you've watched him play here locally, we know how good Tannehill has been the last couple of years, but it doesn't feel like from our vantage point that he gets the respect or the due that he deserves league-wide and nationwide, at least in the media. Do you guys notice that? Do you pay attention to it? Does it bother you, or is that just something that that you don't really think about it and you move on and you just worry about what you can control here in Nashville?
Well, I mean, I think that people look at us as we're a running team, which, you know, I mean, we do have a lot of faith in our running game. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you look at how efficient Tannehill has been and how many situations that we put ourselves at the end of the half or end of the game, it's hard to not recognize the guy. So, yes, I always want to try to throw Tannehill in so that people understand that he is still a weapon for this offense.
All right, so which rookies are impressing you in the building, Roger? Vrabel told us that Caleb Farley has already delivered a couple raps. Like, are you getting guys singing their fight songs? Like, what kind of talent are you seeing in there?
These guys are doing everything from songs, jokes, raps. it's almost like a talent show out there. But you know, I'm really excited for the actual rookie show. You know, that's my favorite.
When is that?
It's a nice light at the end of the tunnel when it comes to camp.
That's like the end, right?
Yep.
So do you guys, like, do you have any role in, you know, picking guys or saying, hey, I want you to, you know, to do this or that, or you just kind of let them put it together?
Do I have any what now?
Well, like, do the veterans, do you guys have any say in what they do, or is it just basically the rookies are going to put it together?
No, not really. Not really. You know, we're kind of putting our trust in them to kind of get it together. We have one of our staff actually helping them as well. You know, I expect a bunch of look-alike pictures and, you know, a few jokes and also a few little scenes I'll probably come up with. That should be pretty funny. But hopefully it's good, man, because we don't have no problem booing you.
There, so. That's right. Well, Roger, we appreciate you taking time to join us this morning. Good luck throughout the rest of training camp here. We're excited to see this team get on the field. And, again, thanks so much for taking time to join us this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you. Have a good one.
Absolutely. Hey, you, Roger. As well. Roger Saffold, Titans offensive guard, our guest here on Robbie and Rexford. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Roger had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. 102.5 The Game is bringing you Nashville's best coverage of Titans training camp, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, Frontier Basement Systems, the All Things Basemently Company, the Trenches Shop Gallery and Boutique, and the Cut Truck Mobile, Nashville's newest barbershop on wheels. You have control of the time and place. Book your appointment at thecuttruckmobile.org. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Periscope, on Twitch, and on YouTube as well. Thanks to Roger Saffold, Titans offensive guard, for joining us in the last segment. Roger Saffold, one of the best talkers on the team. Like that guy.
And mashers.
And mashers as well. He, look, we start to talk about the best players on this team, and obviously, you know, Henry and Julio and A.J. Brown and Taylor Lewan, they're all going to be talked about in that conversation. Roger Saffold, very good. And yeah, I know the first handful of games here when he came here from the Rams – didn't go overly well for Roger Saffold, but once he settled in and he figured things out, and when he and Lewan especially developed a good chemistry on the left side of that line, he has been awesome for the Titans ever since then. He's still got his moments in pass protection where you're like, okay. But run blocking wise, he's about as good as it gets in the NFL.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. And I think, like you said, as they develop chemistry, go back to last year. Before Lewan got hurt, I mean, that side of the line was pretty impregnable. When Tannehill dropped back to pass, I mean, you know, the protection was just tremendous last year, you know, before the injury. And Saffold obviously is a part of that. So, yeah, I'd say that. I mean, if you look at the Titans guard tandem, I have not gone through and done tiers of the guard tandems in the NFL, but if that's not a top five guard tandem, I'd be surprised.
Yeah, I would be surprised too. And to that point, the Titans offensive line, I think, is a little bit underrated league-wide. Like, you know, I saw a list the other day that had them, I think it was Pro Football Focus, had them as the 15th best offensive line in the NFL. So basically right in the middle. And I'm looking at Lewan, Saffold, Ben Jones, Kendall Lamb, Nate Davis. I mean, that's a pretty good offensive line. And I think if you're a Titans fan, based on the way that Quisenberry came in last year, Tyson Brilo played last year. Like, I think you feel pretty good about the depth there as well. Aaron Brewer got some snaps last year as well. I think this has a chance to be a pretty good offensive line. Now, I don't know that it's a top five offensive line in the league, but it's really good. And I think this is, when we start to talk about strengths of the Titans offense, there's a lot of them that you can point to. The offensive line, in my mind, certainly one of them, and I just don't feel like league-wide they're viewed that way. I think that this is especially when healthy, it's a pretty darn good offensive line, both in the pass-blocking part of it and run-blocking as well.
Yeah, and you're right. PFF, which is, of course, gospel in football
yes,
circles,
it is.
Has them 15th, has the Colts second, and obviously they're very good. I still think with Eric Fisher and the Achilles, you know, kind of wait and see. I want to wait and see a little bit with that. But
some more news on that that we'll get to here in just a minute as well.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, PFF has its grades, you know, 6th in run blocking for the Titans, but 25th in pass blocking. You know, my question is how much of that was after Lawan got hurt?
Right.
I mean, I think that they probably grade out better for PFF, for whatever that's worth, you know, quite a bit better, you know, with Lawan. I mean, Ben Jones has, I think, has played better the last couple of years like than he did in 2018.
Agreed.
And, yeah, right tackle is still, I mean, when you have an uncertainty like that, it's, you know, we'll see. But I think Sombrilo coming back, Quessenberry's been out there getting a lot of reps, and they feel, you know, they can play with him. They obviously can play with Sombrilo. You have Lamb and Radunz is, you know, certainly going to be something really to watch here now that the pads are on and in these preseason games and everything. I mean, you know, they need him to make a move here. But at least they have options and some depth, more on the outside than on the inside.
They do, and it was interesting to hear Saffold talk about the guys that were standing out to him so far because largely a lot of defensive guys. Kevin Byard, Jeffrey Simmons. You asked him about Tierre Tart, Laurell Murchison. I mean, he brought up a lot of guys on the other side of the ball that seem to be having pretty good camp so far, which if you're a Titans fan, I think at this point it's probably good to hear that some of the defensive guys standing out to Roger Saffold. Feel good about the offense coming together at some point.
Yeah, now if I'm Roger Saffold, I'm like, oh, we don't have 22, by the
yes,
way, guys.
We don't.
In case you haven't noticed.
He's holding a clipboard over there.
Yeah, and
although
not much two either.
Derrick Henry did put the pads on yesterday, and on the toss sweep against nobody, looked very intimidating.
He continues to look big in pads.
He does.
Yeah, but no, it is. I mean, the defense has been. They've been active, aggressive. They've had a lot of energy doing some talking. And they need anything they can get to get their confidence up, you know, jumping some bad decisions and passes from the quarterbacks. Hey, some of those are gifts, but, you know, take advantage of it. So it's been, I don't know, like, I mean, the talking, you know, Jackrabbit is kind of the guy who, one of those tone setters there. Malcolm Butler did that before. I don't know that it's markedly different from a lot of camps when you just get, you know, you get the ones versus the ones. It's competitive. It's intense. You know, it makes it more fun when you feel like there's something actually at stake. But it's you notice it out there.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the intensity is something to watch. League-wide kind of popped off a little bit yesterday at training camp. I mean, in Carolina, they had to bring the backboard out for somebody because, like, the third-string safety took them out. And then in New York, you've got a full team brawl.
And that safety got immediately released. Right?
Yeah. Yes. And then a full team brawl with the Giants yesterday. Apparently, Ben Jones and Titans camp yesterday got tangled up a little bit. Vrabel wasn't very, very happy about that. So the intensity is starting to ratchet up a little bit in training camp. And we're only a week in.
And we're about to get back into like mid 90s for highs, too,
it's
by the
be
way.
Real hot.
It always makes it a little more likely
that's
for
right.
people to get ticked off.
Let's go back to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ron texting in, I believe Mike Vrabel has faith in the defense because Bowen has a lifesaver. Jim, may the Schwartz be with you. Nice reference there to the Schwartz.
Spaceballs.
Great movie. But I don't know. I don't know that Vrabel is viewing it as, hey, if things go poorly the first 3 or 4 weeks, we'll just hand it off to Jim Schwartz at that point.
No, I really don't think so either. And it's interesting, too, because I don't think there's been a mention. I haven't even really thought about Jim Schwartz until yesterday when Bowen was asked about him.
Well, somebody took a picture of him yesterday, and it may have been TD. I can't remember who it was. I have to go back and find it. But he was staring intently into the huddle defensively. That was the first time I had thought about Jim Schwartz the whole time.
I know it's hard to take these things on their face because I get the natural assumption that, oh, he's just coming in to swoop in and take over. I don't think that. I think he's trying to stay in the game. He's at a little bit different stage of his life, and he should. He should be a resource to Shane Bowen. He should be an asset, but I don't think this is a coup.
I don't think so either. Now, I will say, if things don't go well early on for the Titans defensively, a lot of fans going to be they'll be remembering Jim Schwartz's name.
Schwartz watch.
Yeah.
Schwartz watch.
Now, again, I don't think that's likely to happen. And I think the thing to keep in mind, Schwartz is, I mean, he's a 4-3 guy. They run a 3-4 here. Now, you can change that up, and it's not impossible to call defense. I'm sure Jim Schwartz is very well equipped to call a 3-4 defense.
Yeah.
But I don't imagine that Vrabel is going to give much consideration to that, even if the fan base gets a little loud after the first 3 or 4 games.
Well, how bad would it have to be? You know, and again, like, think about it from Vrabel's perspective. Though, so you did what you did last year. It didn't work out. Maybe that was all personnel, nothing to do with coaching. But it didn't work out, and we all asked about the DC. Now this is, you know, this young coach's first opportunity, this young coach who, you know, was a grad when you started your coach career at Ohio State, and you're just going to smoke him
right
after a few games. I don't think there's any chance.
Yeah, so Titans fans may not agree with that, but we'll see what happens.
Yes. Well, yes.
Everybody's very rational.
They're giving up 45 a game.
Shane Bowen's not polarizing at all with Titans fans.
Hey, if you're that bad on D, you know, people want someone to be accountable for it.
That is true. When we come back, the Titans are in an interesting spot right now because of not really what they've done so far on the field, but what is happening to one of their division rivals on the field so far at training camp. It's been amazing to watch what's gone on so far in Indianapolis. We'll discuss that coming up on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Quentin Nelson, their Pro Bowl guard, now will be on a similar 5 to 12 week timeline that Carson Wentz is on. So they lost their starting quarterback on Monday, and now they are losing their Pro Bowl guard, the best offensive lineman maybe in football. He is that good and that dominant. And just when you think that you're going to be leaning on a young quarterback, a former fourth round pick in Jacob Eason, and run the football a lot, well, now it becomes more challenging.
It's been a tough start to training camp for the Indianapolis Colts. That was Adam Schefter yesterday on ESPN reporting the injury for Quentin Nelson as well. So we've talked about Carson Wentz. He has surgery, a 5 to 12 week timeline on apparently a successful surgery for Carson Wentz. And Joe, we mentioned yesterday Quentin Nelson was spotted in a walking boot. Well, it comes out he had surgery as well, and he is going to be out a similar timeline to Carson Wentz. Now, that was the phrasing that was used, a similar timeline to Carson Wentz. So who knows what that actually means, 5 to 12 weeks? I have no clue what that means for Quentin Nelson and the Colts. But our buddy Stephen Holder, who joined us on Monday here on the show, said on Twitter yesterday, "Stay tuned for my next piece at The Athletic. Quote, should the Colts call off the rest of training camp?" And a heck of a start for the Indianapolis Colts so far in training camp.
Unbelievable. And behind you on ESPN, they were just throwing out, could Philip Rivers decide to return to football? And there was a quote by Philip Rivers. I did not see who he gave the quote to, but that he's basically keeping an open mind.
The LA Times. Philip Rivers was interviewed by the LA Times. Quote, "I'm just going to stay ready. I want to make sure I'm very clear. I'm not predicting I'll play in December or January for that matter. One, you've got to have somebody who wants you, and two, it's got to be right. But I have not completely ruled that out." This coming from Philip Rivers. So he's coaching high school football. Well, he's coaching high school football.
Oh, I got you. So he's not leaving that then. Yeah.
Apparently not. Now, again, if he's already thinking about coming back to play, my guess would be, like, if you're the Colts and you called Philip Rivers today and said, hey, dude, you want to come in and play quarterback while Carson Wentz is out? If he's already thinking about coming back in December, would you not think about it right now if you're Phillip Rivers?
I mean, is he coaching a team of all his own children?
Well, could be.
I mean, he has enough, right?
He's got enough for a starting 11.
Starting 22.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe. I guess. But, boy, you retire, then you get into that, and you're just going to drop everything. And I mean, Jay Cutler dropped everything, dropped that cigarette.
Well, Phillip Rivers, Miami. Phillip Rivers admittedly not in football shape at the moment. Quote, I'm not quite there. I'm getting back there. I wouldn't have made weight if I had to report last week, that's for sure. But I'm getting back into the lifting and running. And shoot, I occasionally throw the ball around out there in this heat. It's not too hard to get a good lather going. It's coming from Phillip Rivers.
Galdern.
I miss that guy so much.
But right now I got to focus on our program.
And shoot, I occasionally throw that ball around out there. Yeah. Why not?
We need Phillip Rivers back in the game.
We do.
Meanwhile, have we talked about the Mariota situation, right?
Sure. Yeah. Every day this week.
I mean, just like Vic Tafur.
Yeah.
You know, and yeah, we talked about the third round pick.
Yeah.
And also, then Vic Tafur, who covers the Raiders for The Athletic, he tweeted out something like, basically like, am I allowed to tweet about this Mariota package or not? So I'm sure he's talking about some sort of play. But then I was like, wait a minute, are you talking about trade package?
Yeah, what kind of package?
What is the trade
about?
Package? So.
Yes, Vic.
I don't know. They got to do something, probably, right?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's say, for the sake of argument, that the Colts called Phillip Rivers. And he said, yep, you know what? I'll come and play. Would you feel worse about that if you're a Titans fan? Like, there are some people that believe that the Colts were better off with Phillip Rivers with a healthy Carson Wentz. Like, I think they could do a whole lot worse than Phillip Rivers coming back if you're the Colts.
No, if that happened and he's like, yep, let's go. Yes, you immediately feel worse as a Titans fan. Not that you don't necessarily feel like you're going to lose the division.
Right.
You beat them last year with Phillip Rivers as their quarterback, with you struggling mightily on defense. But right now, the Titans are – I mean, have the odds changed in Vegas? I don't really keep up. Yeah, I mean, have they gotten, like, way different? Because I think they should be.
Yeah, I think it's way different. But that's the thing. When you give a 5 to 12 week timeline, who knows?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, everybody's every injury should be that, just 5 to 12 weeks, 1 to 3 months. If you got Phillip Rivers, because it's true about the Colts. You have an O-line, especially when Fisher gets ready, good running backs, good defense, good roster. Don't have to reinvent the wheel to quarterback that team to victories.
Yeah.
As long as you're competent. And Phillip Rivers certainly is. I mean, he's way better than any other option I've heard of.
Well, let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, what about the Colts possibly trading for Nick Foles?
Who, by the way,
is the number 3 quarterback right now in Chicago.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what some people believe, is they're going to keep it in the system and things like that. So Foles talked about this the other day, talked about Frank Reich, right, and their relationship and all that stuff. But then, basically, the way I read it was he and Carson Wentz weren't the biggest fans of each other.
I would imagine not.
They have a history, he said, I think, and, you know, that doesn't sound great. So he's so diminished now as a player. I don't see why that's a great solution for him.
Well,
it's better than Jacob Eason, but if you're going to go out and make a trade, I think you have to shoot higher than that, don't you?
I would think so, too. Now, there was one part about Foles' answer that is just hilarious to me. And he says, quote, in this league, I don't want to go to someone that I don't know. I don't want to listen. Great coaches, when you have a great coaching staff, it's something special. A big reason we were great in Philly is we had a great coaching staff. They put us in position to succeed, and it showed. Everyone can say it showed. That being said, I don't want to just go somewhere where I don't know them. I don't know the offense. I've gone down that road before, and it's not fun. I mean, right now you're the third string quarterback of the Chicago Bears. If somebody is calling, asking for your services, like, if you want to play, shouldn't you go somewhere regardless of if you know the offense or if you don't? Like, that to me was, I was just like, what is Nick Foles talking about here?
Yeah.
He's not even going to be active on game days.
Right, exactly. At this point, yeah, maybe Nick Foles is like,
you know. You know, yeah.
I'm old and I don't want to get hurt anymore. So getting a paycheck for not putting myself in harm's way is not a bad thing. But yeah, jump it, I would think, any kind of opportunity. I don't see that. I don't see the Colts looking at that. Again, like, even just the history thing with him and Wentz, like, why do you want to bring that in to the equation?
Honestly, in my opinion, you'd be better off just rolling with Jacob Eason than going with Nick Foles. Like, at least with Eason, maybe there's upside there, and yeah, he can get better. He's got a gigantic arm. And I realize that's not everything in the NFL, and decision-making, really even going back to his college days, not always his best strong suit. But to me, like, if it was going to be a guy like Nick Foles, I think you'd be better off just going with Jacob Eason at that point, if yeah, you're the Colts.
I would agree. Young, you know, that's sort of the very different, but it's sort of the argument here in the backup QB battle, if you believe there is one. And I'm not ready to close the door on it, but, you know, like a Kaiser, you might have just a little bit more, you know, upside, a little bit more ability to make plays out of nothing. And I think the same thing with Jacob Eason, at least, like, he's young, athletic, huge arm. He's been in the system. Give it a shot. It may well not work out for you, but Nick Foles is not going to work out, and you're not going to have any of the good stuff either. He's just not.
The Philly special is not coming back through that door.
Yeah.
Got the Choice Is Yours coming up here in just a few minutes. Taking your thoughts now on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Dave in Big Rock texting in, how long is the leash for Shane Bowen? If we're sitting at 500, averaging 28 points a game, after last year it's not the most exciting choice. I don't think it's just me that feels like we are in win now window.
Oh, absolutely. It's win now window.
But I think the leash, like, they're not firing Shane Bowen 4 or 5 games in the year. I doubt very seriously, unless it's just as bad as it was last year. Probably not firing him mid-season either. I mean, that happens in the NFL.
I mean, look, but here's the thing. And the hard part about this and answering this is there's information. If it is bad, and then in the building, if it's, boy, that game plan, or, boy, he really, really stumbled on this sequence of calling plays and this and that,
right,
his specific performance. I mean, if that's a problem, okay, then I've got an open mind on at some point maybe a move could be made. But it's also possible that Shane Bowen – it's possible that Shane Bowen did a pretty good job last year. It's possible. Now, you're ultimately judged by your results, but it's possible that his job, he did okay, and it's possible this year that he could do what he can do.
Sure.
Put together good game plans, call the right plays. They could be terrible. And that's where, I mean, he still may be the one who is, you know, who's scapegoated, because that's how it goes a lot of times.
Yeah.
But this could still be much more of a personnel problem, you know, than anything.
Could be.
So that doesn't really answer your question, but I think it's probably longer than some fans would imagine.
I think there are some people, when you say that Todd Downing faces more pressure than Shane Bowen, they say, well, how could that be possible? That defense was so bad last year. But I agree. I think he does, because I think Todd Downing has a whole lot more to work with than Shane Bowen does.
The expectations are you are great on offense. It's not just because he has all this talent doesn't mean it's just easy to right, roll the ball up. I mean, you still have to be a good coordinator and be a good play caller. And Arthur Smith turned out to be a really good one. So the bar for him, I mean, it'd be very hard for Todd Downing to exceed expectations this year, right?
It is.
It will not be hard for Shane Bowen. I mean, I'm not saying it won't be difficult to get the defense there, but I mean, you again can be okay, and it's like, wow, nice work.
Yeah. Pretty good defense this year for the Titans. When we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Robbie Stanley, myself, back in the questions Boom. Chair this week. We'll answer questions, sports and non-sports, and then have a little fun. Debate how we respond to those questions. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
This or that.
And it's that time of the week, time for The Choice Is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. We throw out different scenarios, both in sports and in life. And then we debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. Always have fun with your text as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Robbie Stanley, yours truly, back in the questions chair this week. Michelle did a great job last week in her inaugural edition of The Choice Is Yours. So there's a lot of pressure on me right now.
Right.
Hope you can rise to the occasion, Robbie.
Probably won't, but we'll see what happens on that front. Would we like to start with sports or non-sports?
Let's start with sports this time.
Let's start with sports this time. All right. A fantasy draft. All-time NFL players. So you're drafting a fantasy football team. All-time NFL players. Who is your first pick? You've got the first pick in the draft. You can pick from anyone who's ever played in the league. Who is your first pick all-time in your NFL fantasy draft?
Boy. One name that comes to mind, because he had, it feels like he had so many touchdowns and he ran behind one of the greatest offensive lines ever, is Emmitt Smith.
Mm-hmm.
Emmitt Smith would be real high on my list. In his prime there, he had ridiculous. I'll have to go back and look at his. And again, you're talking, though, you're talking all-time NFL, not even pre-fantasy football era.
Even pre-fantasy football. Everybody.
So, like, anyone ever, ever, ever.
Anyone ever.
That is such a broad question, Robbie.
I think, well, there's going to be a lot of different responses. We've already got a vote for Peyton Manning on the text line.
See, Peyton Manning was the first person who came in my head as soon as you said that, and they're actually talking about him right on ESPN about his speech that they want it to be over 8 minutes.
Oh, it'll be over 8 minutes.
For the Hall of Fame this weekend.
He should get that.
I'm going to go with Peyton Manning.
Right.
You know, I mean, he's the GOAT. In his prime, though.
Ooh, the GOAT.
Oh, boy.
Peyton Manning's a GOAT. I've said this before.
You have.
So, we
so
have
much Brady disrespect here on the show.
Wow.
No, I don't disrespect Brady. I think there can be more than one GOAT.
You said the. You didn't say he's a GOAT. You said he's the GOAT.
But I've also said before that Brady is the GOAT.
Well, there can only be one. Only one.
Really? Is that a rule, Robbie? I think there can be more than
the
one.
The greatest of all time.
Only one GOAT.
I think Peyton Manning is the best quarterback I've ever seen play.
You've said that, I know.
So, I say your last answer is... See, it's so here's the thing. On the fantasy side of things, I guess, like, I would not look at a quarterback just because... It depends on the scoring of the league.
It depends on who, though, right? I mean,
you can go Mahomes right now.
I was
now,
about to say. You know? Like, you can absolutely justify taking Patrick Mahomes in the first round. I saw somebody last year had him with the first pick. No, I don't know that I'd go that strategy, but there was one guy to me that immediately came to mind. LaDainian Tomlinson.
Mm.
LaDainian Tomlinson would probably be my first pick. I understand there's a lot of different ways you can go at running back, but I mean, you talk about a guy that could do everything. I mean, let's think back to 2006, 28 touchdowns on the ground, also receiving out of the backfield as well. I mean, he had 3 more touchdowns out of the backfield that year, and another 500 yards receiving. So you're talking about, you know, 2,300 yards basically of offense, and 33 touchdowns at that point. Give me LT.
That's a great pick. So this reminds me of the greatest fantasy football event of my life. Real quick, I'll tell you, 2002, I think I got the last pick in my draft, LaDainian Tomlinson and Priest Holmes back to back. I absolutely obliterated everyone.
Yes,
it was
true.
Like, I was like, there you go. The last pick can be amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So
can.
Emmett had a 25er. But yeah, that's a good one. LT is that's a great choice. Sean Alexander had a 27.
Yeah.
Or a 28 total TD season 2. Wow. John Riggins. Give me some John Riggins, Washington football team.
Is that who you're taking?
No, but he got a lot of TDs, too. I just like the running back who gets the TDs.
Yeah.
You know?
Got votes for Bo Jackson, Barry Sanders, Michael Vick, John Elway on the text line as well. And somebody says Lawrence Taylor.
Yeah.
They can't score.
If you got individual defensive.
Defensive, yes. Yeah.
Well, see, like Barry Sanders, I disagree. Like Barry Sanders, obviously, arguably the greatest skill player in NFL history, but he didn't have the touchdown numbers.
Right.
You know, that like an Emmitt Smith did. So you got to think in those terms. That's a tough one.
So, Robbie, I just looked up on Google, like, you know, like all-time greats, and the NFL actually has one, and it's just every position ever. And I feel like you see these names, and you're like, oh, my God, yes, this guy, and obviously it's so subjective, but what about, like, Joe Montana? Like, you know what I mean? You see these names, and you're just like, well, he was great. He was great, too. And I think also I would choose Reggie Bush.
Reggie Bush.
Who should have the Heisman, but I'm just going to just...
Wow. See, like Montana's a great one, but like again, if you're doing fantasy football and you get a choice between his numbers versus Mahomes, you know,
right,
like the different eras, yeah, make it interesting.
That's why I asked the question. It's difficult to come up with.
It is. I mean, because Jim Brown. I mean, how many what's his best touchdown year? What he had 21 and 65. So that's the thing. Like, there's just less scoring then too, yeah. Right? So
Scott texting.
Probably got to go newer.
Scott texting in Sebastian Janikowski.
Oh, hey, I had him on many fantasy teams.
Yes. Remember that time, I think it was Kiffin coaching the Raiders and lined him up for like a 73-yard field goal. Didn't go well.
Al Davis, you're fired.
You're fired. Taylor from Fort Campbell texting in. It's got to be Carson Wentz. Well done.
Oh, boy.
Carson Wentz.
Nice.
All right, moving on to non-sports. You can experience one movie plot in real life. You can live it out. What would it be? You can immerse yourself in one movie. Now, you got to be careful which character you select.
You don't want to be killed.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite movies, I'd be killed.
Yeah, you can immerse yourself in one movie. What would it be?
I Will Be Fredo in Godfather 2. No. Hey, you want to go fishing, Fredo? Sounds good.
Sounds like a fun time.
Robbie, these are really good questions. You've lived up to it so far.
Thank you.
They're hard. You're leaving the so when you don't give choices, they're difficult.
They're open-ended.
I'm sure somebody would be like, Space Jam, hang out with Michael Jordan. I would not say that.
Yeah.
Man. Give me Revenge of the Nerds. I'll be the young kid's name. He was like a genius who was in college. He was like he's like a 12-year-old who's in college,
yeah,
living in a fraternity house, Revenge of the Nerds, and he does the breakdancing with Lamar at the end of the movie. Very there nice. You go. Boom.
I would love to see Little Rex Road breakdancing.
I would too. I mean.
Oh, there's pictures.
Give me, I'll be Thor. Me Thor, ooh. Like Thor Ragnarok. Yeah.
Yeah.
Be Thor. I mean,
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Be awesome.
You kind of have me stumped on this one.
It's all right.
I feel like I go back to my favorite movie ever, which we talked about in my choice of your the choice is yours segment last week.
Yeah,
I want to be like Mike when he finds the basketball shoes, and then he just is on the
little Bow Wow,
the little Bow Wow, little MK,
It's awesome.
Yeah,
that would be so cool.
I'm gonna go with that, and then he just does these unreal dunks that are completely fake on the court, but everyone thinks they're real and. Yeah, that'd be me.
I like that.
Vingan texting in, Ferris Bueller. Like to be Ferris Bueller. Just live it out for one day. Ron texting in, Craig in Friday. Friday, one of the great movies of all time.
Oh, man.
Love me some Friday.
Get to beat up Debo at the end. I love it.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
Go back to the text line.
Still watch the movie. It's amazing.
Let's go back to the text line. Or excuse me. Well, time perspective, we'll move on to sports. We got to wrap it up here. We've been going a little too long on this segment. All right, back into sports. You can move two colleges in a conference or out of a conference. In honor of Texas and Oklahoma, you can shift two programs you want in any conference that you want them to be in. What would those two teams be? And I'll start, for instance. Put Notre Dame in the Big Ten. I don't care about we're doing this thing our way anymore. Put Notre Dame in the Big Ten. Nobody wants to see that stuff. Take Arkansas out of the SEC. Put Clemson in the SEC. And give me a nice little Clemson in there as well. Then you can shift around the divisions. But adding Clemson to the SEC, putting Notre Dame in the Big Ten. That's what I'm doing. Sorry, Arkansas.
Those are good.
I don't know why Arkansas is the choice I landed on to move out of the SEC, but it was.
It's fine. I'm fine with it.
Joe gave you approval, Robbie.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, I'm going to go Vanderbilt to the Big Ten.
Okay.
Just why? I don't know. Vanderbilt, Northwestern could be rivals in the Big Ten.
They could.
Texas to the WAC.
Let's
let them terrorize the WAC.
As we learned, 3-7 against the Horned Frogs.
That's right.
So I was going to choose Vanderbilt too out of the SEC, but I'm choosing them to go to the ACC.
Probably makes more
ACC.
Sense. Yep. Now they can be rivals with Lake Forest.
That's right.
And Duke.
See, yeah, I think they just fit way better there.
Okay.
And then
I like that.
I would move Syracuse out of the ACC back into the Big East.
Oh. Yes. I like that.
Kickstart that Big East again.
Let's go back to the old Big East hoops.
Yeah,
yes.
Shout out Syracuse basketball, who won the TVT tournament yesterday.
Right. That's right.
All right, very quickly, back to non-sports. You can go back and you have to teach one class in high school for an entire year. An entire year. You have to teach a class in high school. What class are you teaching?
P.E.
I mean, I figured that might be the case. There's nothing wrong with that.
I think I would teach. Great.
You give me the option. I'm taking
I'm giving
PE.
You the option.
No, that's smart. I think, but they don't like doing gym class in high school, so that might be hard, Joe.
Oh yeah, there'd be
a lot of attitudes
you have
to deal with.
You know, I have a an ankle today. I'm going to sit out, but yeah. You know, it's all right. We're going to make them play dodgeball anyway.
I think I would teach facts. You know, like the cooking, the sewing, all that fun jazz. Yeah. Stuff.
Home ec.
Oh,
is it called home ec?
No, it's called facts, family and consumer sciences.
It was not called that when I was in school.
Facts?
It was definitely called home ec.
Is that widespread?
School.
Everybody calls
Gosh,
it facts.
Old.
In where I went to high school.
Family and consumer sciences.
Yeah.
That's not what we called it.
We also had to take the fake baby home where they like cried and everything.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Ours was an egg. It was not a baby.
Oh, the egg. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Take the egg home.
That's
yeah.
Right. Mine died.
Like it cracked?
It cracked.
Ryan Porch just texted in.
Yes, it did.
Cincinnati to the ACC. Ryan Porch.
Oh, of course. Sure.
I would teach history. I actually considered being a history teacher.
That would be great.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah. So that would be the subject I would go back and teach. There you go. That is
nice
today's
job.
Edition of The Choice is Yours. Threw a little some curveballs your way that time.
Indeed. I'm still thinking of movies that I want to be
got
in.
Got a lot of activity on the text line. We'll continue to take your text all show long, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. When we come back, we'll be joined by Blake Topmeyer of USA Today, SEC columnist. We'll get his thoughts on the Vols and the SEC season coming up here in just a few weeks. All that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, live from the Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN.